Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for the rain. Thank you for the blessing that comes with it. We thank you for our time in your presence today. We know that, like always, we will never leave the same. An encounter with God always makes a difference. An attendance in the house of God always makes a difference. No one comes to you, encounters you, and returns just as they came. We know that we'll leave better than we came. And we know that, Lord, we'll be encouraged. We know, Lord, that we'll be strengthened. We know that we can look forward to the help of the Holy Spirit. We can look forward to some interaction with the heavenly host. That, Lord, our time here will be blessed in the name of Jesus. Anoint the preaching and teaching of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, clap for these beautiful people. Amen. How many have a plan to go all the way with Jesus? Powerful. Amen. I hope that you're not planning to stop in 2 years. Or in 3 years. Or when you have a baby. Or when you get married. Or when your green card finally is approved. No need to pray anymore. Hallelujah. We're going all the way with Jesus. All the way to heaven. Amen. Right. Now, you can sit down for a few minutes while we go through our memory verse. Amen. Last week we were not here because we had our pastor's congress in Puerto Rico. Amen. Yeah. And it was a blessed time. Amen. When you get the chance, you should go to Puerto Rico. And have a blessed time too. And but we're back by the grace of God with more energy, and we're more fired up to do the work of God and to continue the work of building this church. Amen. Right. So the scripture, let's go back to the memory verse. Well, do you remember the one for last week? Matthew 16:26. Matthew 16:26, isn't it? So let's say that. 1, 2, 3, go. Matthew 16:26. For what shall it profit a man if... Wait a second. What is a man profited? Or what profit does a man make? Or... Let's just say one thing, isn't it? King James Version says, what is a man profited? E-D or E-T-H? E-D. What is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Matthew 16:26. Let's say it again. Matthew 16:26. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Amen. Matthew 16:26. Amen. Clap for yourselves. I think that's very powerful. Now, as we learn these verses, I want you to take note of them and not just, you know, rattle them. If you think about the verse we just quoted, I think it's saying something really serious. That what do you gain if you gain the whole world and you lose your soul? It is a statement about the value of a person's soul, and therefore the value of anything or any activity that you do for the benefit of the soul, like coming to church, like reading your Bible, like praying every day. These are activities that benefit the soul. And these activities are very important because the Bible says if you gain the whole world and you lose your soul, it says there is no profit. Means it's a loss. Can you imagine that if you gain the whole world? I mean, I can't see any greater statement about the value of a soul. That perhaps a human soul is the most important thing in the whole world. That if the whole world was your remuneration, if you were to be paid the whole world, everything in Hollywood and everything on these streets, every building, the Bible says you don't make any profit if you gain all of that and lose your soul. Then he says that all, what shall a man give in exchange? What is a fair exchange for your soul? Nothing. That's what he's saying. That what is a fair exchange? Not a car, not a house, not a relationship, not a marriage, not your kids, not a profession, not a career, not an education. There is nothing that can trade fairly with your soul. Hallelujah. So these are very, very important statements that, and all the scriptures we have memorizing so far are from Christ himself. And we need to take them seriously. Amen. So let's say it one more time. Matthew 16:26. For what shall it profit? Let's start again. Forgive me. 1, 2, 3, go. Matthew 16:26. For what is man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Matthew 16:26. Wow. Very, very powerful. Amen. So I want you to go meditate on that one a little bit today. Amen. Think about it and think about your soul and see what investment are you making into your soul. Because that is the most important part of you. Hallelujah. Do not let the enemy deceive you about the value of the things we're pursuing. Remember that when you don't have something, you always have, or you always exaggerate its value. When you don't have it, you always think it's worth more than it's really worth. It is when you have it that you start to see that it wasn't anything after all. Hallelujah. So let's be careful that we do not lose our soul or backslide and go to hell in the course of finding accommodation, in the course of finding work, finding food to eat, etc. Amen. All right. Now, today we have a new verse, and it's Matthew chapter 18, verses 18 and 19. So this time it's two verses. Right. Matthew chapter 18, verses 18 and 19. Right. I don't think anyone can see this. Can you read this? I don't think so. So give us the verse. Give us the actual verse. Matthew chapter 18, verses 18 and 19. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Amen. It is not that difficult. It is not that difficult. So let's take one, the first one. Think about it. It says, it's talking about binding, isn't it? This is a week we've been binding the devil left and right, binding demons. I tell you, the book is red. It means danger for demons. Do you understand? So we've been doing it all week. You shouldn't forget. So it says, two of you shall agree as touching anything. I shall agree on earth as touching anything they shall ask. It shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. So that's the other part of it. The first one says, whatever you bind on earth, heaven will respond. Whatever you lose on earth, heaven will respond. Really easy. Okay? So Matthew chapter 18, verses 18 and 19. Let's go. Let's start from the verily. Wait, change it to the verily one. Okay, verse 18. 1, 2, 3, go. No, start with the address. 1, 2, 3, go. Matthew chapter 18, verses 18 and 19. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Matthew chapter 18. Do we say the chapter or we just say Matthew 18, 18 and 19? All right. Matthew 18, 18 and 19. Let's say it again. 1, 2, 3, go. Matthew 18, 18 and 19. Verily I say unto you, that if whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 18, 18 and 19. Wow, we did it. Clap for yourselves. Amen. I tell you, the word of God is good. And we must continue. Amen. All right. So we'll try to say this again at the end of the service before we close. Hallelujah. Right. Well, today is a short sermon, but I just want to continue sharing with you about demons and how to deal with them, how to sort demons out. Amen. Now, if you don't believe in demons, the devil has you in the right place. He has you exactly where he wants you to be, which is you don't even believe that he has any agents called demons at work in your life. That means you're not even getting ready to fight. So you're easy, and he's grateful. Amen. But if you believe in demons, then it is important to understand the enemy and to be able to fight a good fight that helps you win. Amen. And to be able to fight a good fight, you need to understand the enemy and how he operates. You need to understand where to find him, where to look for him, and what he's likely to be doing. Now, we are blessed in the Bible with the story of this man who shows us what demons would like to do when they have full control of a person. Now, in real life or everyday life, it is not very common that you see or find someone who is completely taken over by so many evil spirits. You know, perhaps there are, but it is rare that you meet any. Amen. But in the story God has provided for us in his word, we find an opportunity to understand how demons operate in people and what the enemy would like to do if he had full and restricted control and access to you. You know what the devil will like to do with you. Amen. Now, the last time I shared with you, we were sharing from... Do you have your books? Okay. We were sharing from chapter 4. And we're talking about the commonest sign of demon activity. And we identified the commonest sign of demon activity to be fear. The spirit of fear. Because we saw that as the demons possessed the man, they took him to a place where he was constantly frightened. So frightened that he was always crying at night. He was in a scary place. And he was always crying and screaming at night because of where he was and because of the spirits that were in him. Hallelujah. Amen. And we understood also that God has not given us the spirit of fear. That is in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Hallelujah. That means God has not given us the spirit of fear, but he has given us instead love, power, and a sound mind. Which means that the spirit of fear is somewhat the opposite of having love or operating in love, in power or confidence, and a sound mind. That means the three things fear takes away is the sound mind, power, and love. The ability to love in a pure way is destroyed by fear and insecurity. Hallelujah. One of the things fear does is it produces insecurity. It makes you uncertain of yourself. It makes you uncertain about the relationship. It makes you uncertain about people. And so being uncertain and unsure about them puts you on edge with them. You become suspicious all the time. Instead of becoming a warm lover, you become a hostile investigator. You see, you become a hostile and suspicious private investigator, always checking people's phones, always looking in people's pockets, always looking behind them, finding out who was that missed call. You know, you see a missed call on your beloved or your friend's phone, and when he's not looking or she's not looking, you call the person, and then you realize it was her mother. Her mother has a new phone. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And when people are suspicious of people, they can't help but accuse them, which is another tool that the enemy uses. Accusations. The devil is called the accuser of the brethren. That is, I mean, he does it enough to earn a title from it. Do you understand? See, if you meet someone who occasionally does accounting, you don't call him an accountant. What do you think? Yeah, when you call someone an accountant, you mean you're referring to someone who is mostly occupied with accounting, isn't it? Like, I know an accountant here, and he's mostly occupied with accounting from morning to evening, even after people have closed. He's still doing accounting. Do you understand? You need to be. So when the Bible calls the devil the accuser of the brethren, you bet that he's not an occasional accuser. He's not accusing people once in a while. But his primary occupation is to accuse the brethren. So when you meet someone who's always accusing you of something, when you meet someone whose eyes are filled with accusations and can only see what you're doing wrong and is looking out for the things you're doing wrong, that person is under the influence of the master accuser himself. He's probably one of his agents and is earning a commission from accusing you and helping the enemy put you down. Hallelujah. So that is the process. That's the process by which, you know, fear destroys love. Fear takes away your ability to walk in love and to dwell in love and even to enjoy being in love with someone. Hallelujah. Makes you act queer, makes you crazy, and makes you do a lot of unreasonable things. So the Bible says God has not given us that. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but instead he has given us all the things that fear will not allow you to have. And one of them is love. Another one is power, which means courage, which means confidence. You know, a lot of people could do greater things if they had the courage to do it. But many times, what fear takes away from us is the courage to go forward. the courage to step forward, the courage to advance into something or to go on to the next stage, the confidence to offer yourself and to step forward into the next thing that is waiting for you is stolen by fear. Because you're afraid, you don't do it. Hallelujah. Sometimes there are jobs that are just waiting for you to ask. There are opportunities that are just waiting for you to present yourself. They're just waiting for you to confidently step into them. Can you help him, please? Yeah. It's painful to come to church and not be able to find your way to your seat. Amen. Right. What was I saying? Fear and jobs. Powerlessness, isn't it? Everybody needs courage. Everybody needs encouragement. So you find often when Jesus was talking to people, when people would come to him with problems, one of his favorite phrases in response to their difficulties was, "Fear not." He would start the issue before he even deals with the matter. He would start with, "Fear not." You know, because Jesus knew that fear was the crippling thing. It was the devil's favorite, the enemy's favorite tool for harassing people and for stopping people and for crippling people and making them totally incapacitated against him. Do you understand? And so Jesus always started his treatment from taking away fear. He said, "Fear not." Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, "Fear not." Fear not. Tell him, "Fear not." Fear. Tell her, "Fear not." Amen. No matter what is going on in your life, the first response is fear not. That's the first thing. Fear not. Hallelujah. God told Joshua, "Fear not." Then next he told him, "Only be of good courage." He said, "Only the only contribution you have to make to this is to be of good courage." God was taking Joshua and the people of Israel into a new place. He called it the Promised Land. He said, "I'm taking you to a totally new place. The only contribution I expect from you is to keep your courage on." Hallelujah. "I'm expecting you to stay courageous." He said, "Have I not told you, fear not, just be, only be thou very courageous. I just need you to be courageous. I just need you to be strong." You see, courage is something that God can't put in you. You have to put on courage. Wow. Hallelujah. You have to put on your courage. You have to put on your courage. You have to stay encouraged. Everybody needs to learn how to encourage yourself. Amen. Discouragement is one of the common things that happens to people. Do you understand? And often when you have a bad experience, the next thing you expect is discouragement. When you have failed at something before, you're next experiencing discouragement. When you try hard at making something work and it doesn't work, you start to experience discouragement. Once your courage goes away, then your power and confidence is gone. You see, and that's why the Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but God has given us a spirit of power. You know, the spirit of courage and strength and the drive and energy to press on in spite of how many times you have failed at a particular thing. Are you understanding what I'm saying? I just want to encourage you this morning. To encourage you means to help you put your courage back on. To encourage you means to put your courage back on. Hallelujah. To discourage someone is like disrobing someone. It's like taking something off the person. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And you must learn not only to stay encouraged, you must also learn to be an encourager. Hallelujah. Some of us are too good at discouraging people. We just not only think negative all the time, but we like to share what we are thinking. We like to share our negative thoughts. Someone is going to do something, and the worst thing they do is to share it with you. Because when they share it with you, they're only going to hear more of the things they are already aware of. The person is aware of all the negative possibilities you are about to share. But they are trying to work through the negatives. They are trying to find some courage to keep moving forward and to do something, and they're sharing it with you because they were hoping that you could add to their courage. Then instead of adding to their courage, you start to work to take off the little courage they are bringing to you, and you try to remove the courage. In the end, they feel so discouraged. Have you ever talked to someone before and after that you didn't feel like doing anything? After you shared whatever your dreams were, your vision, so many things. I mean, you are excited about something and you walk up to someone in confidence and you share it with them. And the way they respond, they wait for you to finish and they say, ah. It's like, really? You know? And you're thinking, oh, don't you have anything to say? And they say, well, you know, from experience, you see, this is the thing. They're about to serve you a dose, a healthy dose of their fears, which have come from their experience. Do you understand what I'm saying? Learn to walk in power.
Amen.
Amen. Learn to walk in power. A lot of things just take power. Hallelujah. See, look at that Joshua scripture while we're there. I mean, since we're talking about it, look at it very quickly. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Amen. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 3. He said, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Can you see that? It says, the word of the Lord came to Joshua. This is God speaking, verse 1. The word of the Lord came to Joshua, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them. Do you understand? In other words, I'm in the process of giving these people something. Their former leader is gone. And so I want you to rise up and take over and help them possess this thing I am trying to give to them. Hallelujah. Then it says, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. So even the way you know, because God didn't give them a map. He just said, any place that you can actually come to, I have given it to you. Do you understand? So sometimes the way you know what belongs to you is what opportunities you are exposed to. That if your foot has come into the place, God says, that have I given to you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Says that I have given. If I hadn't given it to you, you wouldn't be doing anything near it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So he said in verse 4, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. Verse 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Amen. Then he says, be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous. Do you understand? That thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left hand, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Then he says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. This is why we're memorizing the scriptures, right? That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and be of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. Do you understand? Now the way God keeps saying, be strong, be strong, be strong, be strong. It is because God is anticipating that these people, the only enemy they have to conquer will be fear. I have given it to them, but it's frightening. Sometimes opportunities are frightening. Sometimes the doors are frightening. Sometimes even your dreams are frightening. Sometimes what you want, what you feel a drive or an interest in pursuing is actually scary. You see what I'm saying? But you can't help but want it. And the fact that you want it is often a sign that God has given it to you. So he says you need to make a contribution to this, and that contribution is that you must be courageous and you must be strong. Hallelujah. You must not allow fear. He said, I'm giving you all the land of the Hittites. Think about it. It's not some virgin bush I'm giving to you. The place I'm giving to you is occupied by someone else. Someone else calls it their land. And I say, I'm giving it to you. Hallelujah. Don't expect that you're going to walk up to them and they'll walk away and say, oh, well, that's here, the Lord. My land belongs to you, so you can have it. No. Often you're going to have to put up a fight. But it's a fight whose end is already predicted. God has already predicted that you are the winner in that fight. All he needs is for you to put your courage together and fight through to the end. Can I have an amen? So sometimes things are difficult. I agree. Some people think that once God has given it to me, then there will be no fight. No, there will be a fight. Hallelujah. Otherwise, victory would not be an important Christian word. Hallelujah. But God promised us victory because there will be a fight. You can't claim victory unless you've been in a fight. Hallelujah. God said we would have breakthroughs. Breakthroughs means there'll be things to break through, isn't it? He said you have overcome the world. That means there'll be things to come over. Hallelujah. So Christianity is like that. It's full of fights. One challenge after the other. One thing after the other. Just when you think it's time to rest, the next thing shows up. So it's one thing after the other. But God has promised us that we are more than conquerors through him who gave his life for us. Hallelujah. Jesus says we are more than conquerors. So then what you need is the courage. Do you understand? It's like someone asking you to come and stroke his dog, a huge dog. And the person tells you the dog won't bite you. Then he says, come and stroke the dog. He is right, probably. But now you need courage. Are you following what I'm saying? He says, come on, come, come. What you need is courage. But sometimes when you look at the dog, see some of these dogs that open their mouth and you see their tongue hanging out. And you're looking at the dog and someone is telling you, this dog is harmless. It takes courage. That courage, it comes from you. You must put it on and take on the dog. And you touch it and you'll be surprised that this huge dog actually was just waiting. When you start to stroke it, it closes its mouth and it closes its eyes and it starts to enjoy the stroke. It was just waiting for you to have the courage to take it on. Can I have an amen? I believe there are some people here who need this message this morning. There's some people here who need to get their courage going. Some people need to have the courage to apply for certain jobs. You need to have the courage to take on certain challenges. God did not send Jesus Christ to die for you to make you a loser. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Jesus didn't have to come all the way just to make a loser out of you. You were losing already before Christ came. He didn't have to come and die. He didn't have to lose his life for you to become a loser. No, 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 no. Jesus came to make you a winner by the grace of God. Hallelujah. I see you rising up with courage to possess the things that belong to you, to address the issues that have to be addressed. Some of you need to address certain issues, even in your own life. You have tried it so many times and you have failed, and so you've lost the courage even to consider trying again. But rise up from today and step up to the challenge and stand before the issue and say that I'm back, I'm back, I'm back. We're addressing this thing again, and this time time I'm winning through him who died for me and rose again. Hallelujah. There is a reason why Jesus rose from the dead. It was to show us that he has power over the worst thing that can happen to a person. You are not yet dead. What is before you is not as strong as death. Death is the single thing that completely overwhelms a person and totally overpowers him and totally incapacitates him and makes him completely helpless. Only death. Sleep is close, but it's not like that. Sometimes you see people are asleep, but when you say fire, they just rise up. Even you don't have to say fire, you say food. Some people can smell food even while they are asleep. Yeah. Your roommate is sleeping, you think you can get your fries in and finally eat fries and eat it all by yourself. As soon as you get the fries into the room, he starts to move. Jesus conquered death to give us a message. That message is that between nothing and death, you can also conquer. So fear not. Amen. Can I have an amen? So fear not. All right. So let me continue quickly and just try to get at least one more point in. Amen. Now, chapter 8 is one that is ministering to me this morning. Chapter 8. Satan wants to isolate you. Now, when you read the story about this madman in Luke chapter 8, from Luke chapter 8, the book of Luke chapter 8, and from verse 26, as they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee, and when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time and wear no clothes. Then it says, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. Amen. Neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. Hallelujah. Now, when demons, or one of the activities of demons, is to drive people into a place of isolation, is to make people see wisdom in isolation, when it is really their greatest folly, is to make people think they are better off alone, is to make people feel that it is wise to remove yourself from people. Do you understand? So when this man had so many evil spirits, one of the things they did was to move him out of the house. Says, you cannot stay here. You cannot stay here. You cannot stay here. Get out of the house and go to a place and be by yourself. Hallelujah. The devil understands that when people are isolated, when people are by themselves, they are their weakest. People are weak when they are by themselves. We were not meant to be by ourselves. That is why we are born into families. By the time you are born, you already have a cousin, you have an uncle, all these people you didn't choose. They are all your relatives already. Yeah. Sometimes you are born with many more than you would have liked. Yeah. Sometimes you're born and you're like the 10th child in a family. Even in the ward, in the place where you're born, you know, by the time you open your eyes, your mother is there, your father is there, two nurses are there, there's a doctor who's there, so many people are there, all of them staring at you in your during your most private moment. You have just arrived. You didn't even have time to put your clothes on. Everybody's already standing there and they're staring at you. It's a message. It's a message about how you're supposed to continue. The fact that upon your arrival, there were people waiting for you cheering on you. People even with a name waiting for you. You know, all of them representing different kinds of help that you're going to need when you are born. All of them waiting and willing to offer to you. It's a message about how you're supposed to continue living. But you see, as we go through life, so many things happen. Sometimes you're hurt by people. Sometimes in an attempt to be with people, you're hurt. Because one thing people do very well is to hurt people. Do you understand? And over a period of time, people start to withdraw. They start to respond to the hurts. And they start to respond to the negative experiences they've had with people. And that drives them to a place they think is better, but do not realize it's actually worse. Hallelujah. The enemy realizes that once you are with people, it is difficult to attack you. In fact, yesterday I was watching something on YouTube. I was watching a small video. I was hoping I could show it to you this morning, but I don't even think I saved the title. But anyway, it was a story of, it was just a very short clip about a buffalo. You know, it was a family of buffaloes, you know, about five or six of them. And they had a baby buffalo walking with them. And the number of hyenas, you know, that wanted to eat this baby. So many of them, you know. And I could see how the bigger ones couldn't even drive them away. It's like you drive them away, they go a little bit and they come back. Yesterday I was sharing with you that demons are like mosquitoes. You know, you drive them away and they go for a short time and they come back. Do you understand? They come back to see if they have a better chance this time. Sometimes demons come, mosquitoes come to make some noise to see if you are sleeping. They just go, and you do this, and he's awake. And then just go back. But there comes a time when they come around and they go, and you don't respond. They know you are sleeping. That's the time to settle. You see? So I was watching how these buffaloes were protecting the little one. And I got some wisdom out of that. I saw that it is wisdom to belong. Not just to belong on the outskirts of the group, but to belong right in the middle. Because the strategy that they used to protect that baby was that the baby was never kept outside. They kept the baby right in the middle. And the big guys who could drive away the hyenas, you know, those big guys were on the outside. And can you believe that with that, they were actually moving. They were trying to move, and they were trying to join the rest of the pack, you know. And as they were moving, they kept the baby right in the middle. And as long as they did that, the baby was safe. Are you understanding what I'm saying? When you watch these wildlife videos, and you see there are a lot of them on YouTube, you can just Google wildlife, and you just see it there. Very simple formula for catching an animal, which is to separate it from the rest. That is it. Just separate it from the rest. In fact, sometimes you see them, the lions, they run after whatever herd it is. They run after them, and somehow they see this one that sort of separates itself. And the lions pretend they haven't seen that one. And they keep running after the pack, and they just run after them and run after them just to widen the gap between them and the one that went this way. So after a while, they just stop following these ones, and then they start coming after the one. And they know that if this one joins the rest of the group, it is very difficult to get that one. But when it stays on its own, it's easy prey. Hallelujah. The devil knows that when you're on your own, you're really easy. When you're on your own, it's not so difficult. It's not so difficult to get you. It's not so difficult to discourage you. It's not so difficult to attack you. It's not so difficult to fill your mind with negative things. Have you been in that situation before where your mind is so full of accusations, things you are saying to yourself, just negative things? There's nobody around even to say something positive about you. You are just at your own mercy, just saying negative things to yourself, killing yourself in your room or by yourself. Oh, man. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Isolation is your greatest enemy, and it is done by demons. Evil spirits separate people. Evil spirits minister to people and make people feel that it's wiser to be on your own. Say, I'm going to mind my own business. I'm not going to have anything to do with anyone. From now on, I'm not going to do anything with anyone. And when you do that, you are actually signing your death warrant. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? God did not make us to be separate. God wants us to belong together. That is why the Bible says we must not neglect the habit of assembling ourselves together as the manner of some is. He says we should not, you know, neglect the habit of meeting together. Meeting together, fellowship, interaction with other believers is very important for your Christian life. Hallelujah. The Bible says he sets the solitary or the lonely in families. Have you seen that verse before? Psalm 67, I think. 68. Psalm 68. Okay. And verse 6. The Bible says, God setteth the solitary in what? Families. God's cure for isolation is a family. Do you understand? God's cure for loneliness is a family. What is a family? A family is never one person. A family is a group of people. There is no family that's just made of up of one, just one person. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. That one person, even if it's your spouse, you see, there's always more than one person that makes up the family. And so God solves loneliness with company. God sets the lonely in families, and he sets them there. That's different from placing someone somewhere. Wow. See, this thing here is not set here. It's just placed here. You get it? It's just placed here. At the end of the service, we're going to move all these things. You see, all these things have been placed here. And at the end of the service, we're going to move them. But this guy, he is set here. Do you understand? He's chained here and he doesn't go anywhere. Now, what God has done is that he sets you in a family. That's why you cannot leave your family. Are you following what I'm saying? That's why you cannot leave your family. We don't leave families. Yeah, you can even change your last name. You still belong to that family. You are wired into that family. You belong to them now and forevermore. That's the way it is. The Bible says God sets people. When you are in a family, when God places you in a family, you are actually glued there. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? So when God finds a solitary person, when God finds a lonely person, when God finds an isolated person, he finds them a family. Hallelujah. For some of you, this church is a family that God has appointed for you. God has set you in this family. God is trying to save you from loneliness. God is trying to save you from isolation. It is evil spirits that want you to keep to yourself. It is evil spirits that want you by yourself. The evil spirits took the man to the cemetery where everyone there is dead. The only people in that place were all dead. So they can't talk to him. They can't influence him. They can't advise him. No one can say anything about any of the things he was doing, including cutting himself. Imagine it. The guy was cutting himself and he was crying. He was inflicting injury on himself. He was destroying his own life. And there was nobody there to tell him that he's destroying his life. And isolation makes that possible. Isolation makes it possible for you to destroy your life and to make wrong choices, and yet there's no one to tell you that your salvation from self-destruction actually just lies in somebody's mouth. Someone could just tell you very easily that what you're doing is not good for you. What you're doing is going to hurt you. What you're doing is not like you think it is. You know, the Bible says, and it was actually Jesus who said, there is a way that seems right to a man. There is a way that seems right to a man. There's a way that actually looks brilliant. It looks like this is the wise way. It looks like this is the way to go. But the end of the road actually leads to destruction. Are you understanding what I'm saying? The Bible talks about bread eating in secret. He says that a person can eat bread in secret and afterward find out that his mouth is filled with gravels. Something that looks like bread, something that looks like something that will satisfy your present need, something that looks like this is the best choice, says you put it in your mouth and you don't tell anybody about it and you're hiding it and you're eating it, and when you turn around, the thing is actually gravels. You are not eating bread at all. Are you following what I'm saying? Sometimes isolation parades in the guise of privacy. But you see, I told you, the fact that you're born naked means you're not going to have a whole lot of privacy in this life. Are you following what I'm saying? Yeah. A lot of things that people hide are even very obvious. Sometimes you see two people in a relationship. Don't tell anybody. Two of us are. I'm going to tell anybody. And yet, the most obvious thing to everyone is that these two people, sometimes we hide just too much. And sometimes we hide important things from the wrong people. God wants to help you, but your so-called privacy is actually keeping you away from help. Hallelujah. Your so-called privacy is making you make a lot of bad decisions, and bad decisions are such that you don't recognize them until after they've been made. You know, when you're getting into a negative situation, for example, when you're getting into debt, it sounds like, oh, I can just pay it off. I'm just going, you know, you hear all these voices that tell you that, you know, you can just do this, you know, just you just need two paychecks and that will just sort this out. And, you know, that's this one was just sorted out. You know, I can just pay this off. And that's how it goes in your head. Until it's done. A brother was telling me how he was going to buy something. He needed $4,000 more to just buy. And he just looked at the thing. He worked out his paycheck. He just did the calculation. Oh, this $4,000, I'll kill it in 2 weeks. So he just took it on. If you don't have $4,000 from the last 2 weeks, you must not deceive yourself that you're going to kill anything with $4,000 in the last 2 weeks. Life is not like that. It's not like that. If you didn't get $4,000 from the last 2 weeks, the next 2 weeks are not likely to give you $4,000. So the person was telling me now, he said, look, it's been 5 months. I cannot pay the thing off. And they've been adding interest to the thing. And after all the payments he's made, $4,000 is still very nearly $4,000. Now, I was telling him, I could have told you this very easily, that it's sweeter before you do it. But after you do it, it really changes. The tune just changes. The tune they play before you get into it is very different from the one they play after you're in it. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Listen, don't hurt yourself by pursuing a life of loneliness and isolation. God gave you a family for a reason. God gave you a spiritual family for a reason. There's a reason why God gave you a pastor. There's a reason why God gave you... You see, we are supposed to be sheep. The Bible says we are the sheep of His pasture. We are supposed to be sheep. Sheep have a shepherd. And it is through the shepherd that the sheep eventually come to green pastures and still waters. It is through the shepherd that the sheep are able to experience a table set before them in the presence of their enemies. God never meant for you to be by yourself. What is the future of a sheep by itself? If you are sheep, then you are not meant to be on your own. Unless you are not sheep, you don't have to be sheep by all means. Except that if you are not sheep, then the Lord is not your shepherd. And if the Lord is not your shepherd, then all the implications don't apply to you. So that if the Lord is not your shepherd, number one, you shall want. And all the other things that follow don't belong to you. But if the Lord is your shepherd, then you must be sheep. And if you are sheep, then you are not supposed to be alone. When sheep are by themselves, they are in danger. The wolf catches them. All kinds of things happen to sheep when they are by themselves. That is why God has given us company. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and say, I need you. And you need me. Yeah. Tell them, I may not look like I have anything to offer to you. Yeah. But don't be deceived. You need me. And I need you. Hallelujah. Amen. Is my message making sense to you? Huh? 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Seeking whom he may devour. Where is it? Seeking whom he may devour. Isn't it? So it means right there that not everyone is devourable. Isn't it? Means not everyone will be devoured. So the question is, what is the criteria for selecting and identifying the devourables? And you will find out that the criteria, or a common criteria, is those who are alone. I'm giving you homework. You know, this is the only church where they give you homework when it comes to service, right? So your assignment for today is, when you get home, before you sleep tonight, by all means, go to YouTube and just watch 2 wildlife videos and understand whom he may devour. Seeking whom he may devour. He's not looking for the pack. The whole pack, the whole herd is not what he's looking for. He's looking for the one that is devourable among the lot. And among the lot, the one that is devourable is the one who separates himself. It's the one who keeps to himself. It's the one who keeps to himself. It's the one who does not relate. The one who does not keep company. The one who will not pick up his calls. The one who will not answer her phone. The one who will not visit others. The one who will not share fellowship with others. Those are the ones you can devour. You can hit them with discouragement. You can hit them with bad thoughts, negative thoughts and feelings about themselves. You can hit them with so many things that you otherwise will not get. You know, some things, when the devil says them to you, they are quickly taken away, even by a compliment. Yeah. Have you ever had an experience before where you were feeling so low and really down, and then you meet someone and they say something good about you, and you don't even believe them? And then they say, seriously, I like your hair. I like your hair. They say, seriously, I like your hair. And you're thinking, I mean, this is the day that you wish you didn't have hair. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And they say, I like this about you. I like, and you even feel they are lying. And among us, there are people who make and offer compliments really easily. Isn't it? Those people are planted in our midst by God for a purpose. They only have eyes for good things. Their eyes are just filled with positive things. They only see a beautiful world. They see nice clothes. They see nice hairstyles. That's all they see. And sometimes you may think such people are not serious. But God put such people. We need them. Some of us are way too serious. We need such people around us. We need people who can take things lightly. People who can laugh at us. People who can make fun of serious things. We need such people to lighten the atmosphere around us. Otherwise, we will stress out ourselves. Yeah. We are too serious. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Tell somebody, I think God put you in my life for a reason. And I'm not going to separate myself from you anymore. So tell the person, can you give me your phone number? Ask for the person. I promise you, I'm going to call you this week. I will call you. I'm expecting, get somebody's phone number right now. You know, get somebody's phone number. Yeah. So I'm not asking to marry you or anything like that. This is not a proposal. This is just, I'm just asking for your phone number so I can obey the pastor. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you blessed this morning? Right. Stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close. I want you to bow your heads, everybody, and I want you to pray. Just pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. Who are the people that God has placed in your life? What is the company that God has given for your life? And why are you running away from them? Why are you running away from the company that God has given you? Why are you moving away from the family that God has set you in? Take today's message as God's mercy and God's help to you. Realize that you need others to survive. You need others to make it. You need others to help you. You need others. Your life requires others. It is demons that drove the madman into the ultimate privacy, which is to go to the cemetery where there's nobody there who can talk. No one who can talk about what you're doing. No one who can talk about who you're with, who you're hanging out with, no one to talk about what you're doing, no one to talk about how you're spending your money, no one to talk about what choices you're making, no one to talk about anything you're doing. It can never be the Spirit of God. It is not the Spirit of God that does that. The Spirit of God is always gathering people together. He always says, let us. God is for community. The enemy promotes isolation. He promotes separation. Just be by yourself. Do it by yourself. Just go it alone. That is the voice of the devil. And when he had this madman and had the opportunity, he took him to that place where there was no one to talk about even his nakedness. There was no one to talk about it. Thank you, Jesus. I just want you to pray and say, Lord, help me. Help me, Lord. 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 Oh, yes, Jesus. Jesus, help me. Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord. Makabolo moshakabala mamalababolo shakabala baba. Oh, yes, Lord. Makatala malababo shakafala baba baba baba. Help me, Jesus. Help me to stay with the family that you have appointed for me. Help me to stay with the people you have appointed for me. Jesus. Help me. Help me, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You know, let me just tell you something. There is a price to keep people in your life. There's a price to pay. The price to pay to keep people in your life is forgiving them. Amen. If you learn how to forgive people, it will not matter what happens. You will always have people in your life. If you do not forgive people, it means you're not willing to pay the price to keep them around. And you're going to lose them. You lose them one after the other, even some of the best people. See, sometimes people offend you before you even experience what they're in your life for. So when you go by the offense, you lose them before they even have the opportunity to manifest the blessing that they're supposed to be to your life. Sometimes God puts someone in your life. That relationship is intended to develop and to grow a little before it starts yielding what it's supposed to be yielding. Because every relationship needs time to become what it's supposed to be to you. You see what I'm saying? You can't just meet someone in the street and ask him to give you a loan of $200. You just met him this afternoon. You're asking for a loan of $200. It's not going to work. But when you've been relating with a person for a while, you might not even get a loan. You get a gift of $200. You see what I'm saying? So relationships need time to yield their benefit and blessing. But in that time, in the time that the relationship is maturing to start to become what it's supposed to become, people can offend you. And when they offend you, you come under temptation and pressure to let them go, to lose the relationship, to give it up. And sometimes we let people go before they have a chance to be who they're supposed to be to us. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So I believe there are some people here today who must forgive certain people. You have to forgive certain people in your life. And I know it's difficult for you, but ask God for help. Hallelujah. So let's pray. And if you're the one who needs to forgive someone, I want you to pray and ask God to give you the grace, God to help you to forgive that person, to let this issue go, to let this matter go, so that you can relate again with this person, because you need them. You need them. There is a reason why God put them in your life, and you need them. In the name of Jesus. Oh God, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh Jesus. Makamolo mosatara balaba barabara barababa shandaria. Makabalaba barababa dariana baburu shakabarababu. Help us, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Makashokotori mashakapara barababaya barababa. Help us. Oh God, help us, Lord. Deliver us from the folly of our isolation in the name of Jesus. May we not be isolated. May we not walk in unforgiveness. May we not lose people that you have given us to be a gift and to be a blessing to our lives, Lord. Help us to be tolerant. Help us to be forgiven. In the name of Jesus. Help us. Help us, Lord. Jesus. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Father, we thank you for this afternoon and thank you for the opportunity to hear the word of God. Give us, Lord, the courage to obey you and to walk in this word. Help us, Lord, not to follow the folly of isolation, to be like that madman. But Lord, help us to stay in the family that you have placed us. Help us to value the people we have in our lives, our pastors, our brothers and sisters in church, even our biological siblings and family, Lord. Help us to value them. You know why you gave us the brothers we have. You know why you gave us the sisters we have. Thank you for the lives of the people around us. Help us to invest in these relationships in the name of Jesus, that we will not lose them. We thank you, Lord, for your blessing in Jesus' name. Now, as we close the service, maybe you're here today and you're saying, Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my life to Jesus today. I want to give you that opportunity to dedicate your life to Jesus or to rededicate your life to Jesus. Maybe you've done this before, but you have somehow found yourself straying away from Christ. Today is a good day to come back to the Lord. I want to say a prayer for you if you're here like that this afternoon. Just raise up your right hand and I'll pray for you. Is there anybody here like that? Just raise up your right hand and I'll pray for you. God bless you. Keep that hand up. Anybody else who wants to give your life to Jesus, who wants to rededicate your life to Jesus today? Okay. Why don't we all just say this prayer together? Now, you with your hand up, just say this prayer after me. I just want everybody else to join as we say this prayer together. Let's say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying for me. I believe with my heart that you are Lord. And I confess with my mouth, God raised you from the dead. Come into my heart. Forgive my sins. Lord Jesus, I want to pursue a relationship with you. I want to be serious in my relationship with you. I want to live like a true Christian. But I know I can't do it without your help. So please give me grace. Come into my heart. Be Lord over this life. Say, devil, you are not my master. You did not give your life for me. Jesus is my Lord. He gave his life for me. I am his. I will serve him the rest of my life. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer. Amen.